You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome back in to another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. It is Thursday, February 8th, final day of Chiefs media live from Las Vegas ahead of Sunday's Super Bowl rematch against the San Francisco 49ers. So let me welcome in the leader of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. I'm just guessing based on, you know, everything that I've been paying attention to. Obviously, I'm not in Vegas right now on the ground like you are, really, really hoofing it and busting tail trying to keep up with everything. But I've listened to every press conference from this week. I'm locked into everything Chiefs right now ahead of this matchup. And really, my biggest takeaway from Thursday's media was that these guys are just ready to play this game. They are tired of answering questions from all of these reporters, are tired of talking about Taylor Swift and everything that's off the field. They're ready to just get to Sunday's game already.
Yeah, I think there was probably a big sigh of relief among the players after today's media session. The Super Bowl media is unique. You know, we've been talking about it a little bit all week, but just to run through it again, they have the opening night on Monday, and then they do their media sessions Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And what happens now is we're just dark until after the game on Sunday. So it does allow the players, you know, 42 to 72 hours just to kind of settle in and enjoy friends and family, whoever may be in town, get their final practices in, and yeah, they'll turn their attention to Sunday. But yeah, because of, I think, the amount of media here and the amount of players that are speaking at the same time, you get these situations where these players are getting similar questions over and over and over again. So the annoying part for them is over. We've covered it. We'll have more on the site and in the newsletter. And we're excited for the game. I'm ready to get this game underway, even though, again, we still have about 3 days here.
So I want to let you guys know, too, normally we do a live Arrowhead Pride report on Friday morning, but this week we're actually going to bump that to Saturday. So be on the lookout for that from me and Pete. Just injury reports and everything. We should get the final injury report on Friday evening because of the time difference in Vegas. They're coming out a lot later. And so we want to make sure we are as up to date as possible for everybody listening here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. So expect our final Arrowhead Pride report of the week sometime on Saturday morning, afternoonish, something in there. We'll figure that out. We'll have it out to you guys. We have plenty of stuff to keep you busy until then on arrowheadpride.com and right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. But I want to get into the injury report before we discuss the game a little bit more. I've, you know, gone back and forth 1,000 times. I feel like I've simulated this game in my head over and over. So I got plenty of thoughts on that. But As we all expected, Pete, Joe Tooney did not practice on Wednesday. Have to imagine he's not going to be available in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid's been honest about that. And Andy Reid, usually when it comes to injuries, does not say very much. And he's been pretty open about Joe Tooney probably not being available. They're moving forward. Nick Allegretti expecting to get the start, which is what we expected. Sky Moore was activated off of injured reserve, though I don't expect to really see him involved in the game plan in Sunday's Super Bowl. And then Jerick McKinnon, who had that practice window opened, was a limited participant, but Andy Reid already said it's probably a long shot that he's going to go.
Yeah, I think that's all right. I think with the Tooney situation, if it were 2020 and the Chiefs were playing in that Super Bowl and they were down to, you know, their 9th, 10th, and 11th offensive linemen, I think maybe it would be a different story with him. But I think they really feel confident in Nick Allegretti. I mean, this is the immediate backup there. It's been a strength thing for Tooney. He's not going to be full strength. And so I don't think the Chiefs are going to force him in, even if maybe he could make himself eligible, available to play. I just don't think they're going to go in that direction. I tend to think he'll be inactive. I know that McKinnon had a limited practice yesterday, but again, my understanding, as I have alluded to in previous reports, is I don't think he's going in this game. I mean, Clyde Allbutt confirmed that to me yesterday. And then, you know, as you go down the line, I am interested in this Tony or Moore situation. And I say Tony or Moore because I can't see both of these guys being active on game day. And I think it'll be one of them. And I'm curious as to seeing who they might have up. By the way, the technicality on the Sky Moore is that his practice window was ending. And so for him to just continue working and be at practice, they had to designate him to return. And so, you know, we'll end up, seeing, you know, what happens with Sky Moore. But I'm curious as to if it'll be Tony or Moore. Like I said, I don't think both will be active.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, even if they both wind up being active, I really find it hard to believe that either one of them is going to see the field Super Bowl.
Right.
This offense has found something here in the playoffs, even if they aren't putting up a lot of points. Like, I just don't want Andy Reid to mess things up right now. And it feels like adding those guys back into the mix gives you an opportunity to, you know, maybe mess things up a little bit during the Super Bowl. And obviously that's not where you want to screw things up. On the 49ers side, though, they are as healthy as they're going to be ahead of this game. Trent Williams, the only 49er who did not practice on Wednesday, but just a veteran rest for their superstar offensive lineman. George Kittle and Eric Armstead, also both limited participants in practice, but there's no reason to worry about them. They're obviously going to play in this game. Both those guys have been dealing with injuries recently. So the 49ers are basically going to be at full strength in this Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're a little healthier than the Chiefs, just generally speaking, just when you think about Tooney, but also adding in just at the injuries that the Chiefs have accumulated from like the midway point through the end of the season. Name we haven't said in a while is Derek Nnadi. And same thing with Brian Cook, who was a key player for the Chiefs. And I wish they had these guys, but you know, injuries happen in the NFL. And as you compare, I guess the Chiefs could have worse injuries of more critical players, but 49ers slightly, I think, you know, healthier. But I still think the Chiefs have enough, you know, from the players that'll be filling in for the guys I just mentioned, where I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on the result of the game.
And getting into this game, Pete, and you can tell me how you feel about this. So it feels like to me, and maybe it's because it's Super Bowl week and we're all consumed constantly with Chiefs stuff because there's just so much to cover over Super Bowl week. So normally I kind of play both sides and I'm really locked into, you know, what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers or the Chiefs opponent or whatever. And this week I've had a lot less time to pay attention to what's going on that side of the ball because I'm so focused on making sure that we're on top of everything that's happening this week with the Chiefs. And I know that they're 2-point underdogs, but it feels like a lot of people are really confident in the Chiefs right now, finishing this thing off and getting another ring, winning back-to-back, taking down the 49ers once again in the Super Bowl. I'm just curious if you get that same vibe in Las Vegas or if I'm just totally off base and I'm just too consumed by Chiefs stuff right now.
Yeah, no, I think it's more of a Kansas City thing, to be quite honest with you, with this confidence. Because you talk to San Francisco 49er fans that are here, you know, they really feel like this is their year. And, you know, you mentioned the betting line. It's not, you know, the betting line can move. And so there are people that are continuing to bet San Francisco. And so I don't know how it's gotten to the point where, you know, the Chiefs have these confident vibes in Kansas City, but again, on the ground here, I think it is leaning San Fran, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, and obviously San Francisco, when they're firing on all cylinders and they execute and they play like they are, like they can, like a championship caliber football team, like they've got the best offensive weapons in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think, like, going back to Baltimore, like, you saw how confident those fans were going into that game. I think just from almost, like, a national standpoint, and this is me, like, having a little bit of media theory, right? Put it on my professor glasses. I just tend to think that, like, Spags, in a way, and what he's been able to do this year, and really the Chiefs defense as a whole, we've talked about this, it's kind of hiding in plain sight. I don't think people who are betting and people who support the 49ers and just think they're going to steamroll the Chiefs really understand how good historically this Chiefs defense is. I mean, I know we talk about it a lot in Kansas City, but I'm not even sure if Chiefs fans realize, like, how compared to history, how good this defense is. I mean, you talk about the top defenses that we've seen, Seattle's, the Legion of Boom, Denver in 15 with like half of Peyton Manning that were able to get it done. I mean, they're right there with those defenses. It's just, I don't think they're getting the notoriety. And so I also think that's where some of the confidence from the 49ers is coming. It's like, well, we have CMC and Debo and Ayuk, and you know, this quarterback out of nowhere is playing lights out. But the Chiefs are a different story, and I think they've proved that in Baltimore, but it has not seemed to carry over to the vibes here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it does seem like even Super Bowl week, like I thought after that AFC Championship performance, we'd be getting more focus on the Chiefs defense and just kind of hype around them. And it's still, well, the Chiefs offense only scored 17 points, like, and they didn't score in the second half. So, like, it feels like that's still a big part of the narrative. And it's like, can this Chiefs offense put up enough points? Can they really compete with the San Francisco 49ers when the story should really be this Chiefs defense? And I know Nate Christensen's pointed this out all week at arrowheadpride.com, and I totally agree with him. Like, the San Francisco 49ers team is extremely talented. They've got superstars all over the place on both sides of the ball, but they're not quite as deep as they have been in years past. Like they had to compensate those stars and they had to keep those guys around their roster. And so they've had to spend up to keep a lot of those guys around, and it has hurt the depth on their team. And the Chiefs' depth is tremendous on the defensive side of the ball. We've seen it impact this team all year long. And then, you know, we talked about Charles Omenihu going down. Obviously, that's a huge loss for the Kansas City Chiefs because he's been an extremely impactful player. But at least at that position group, like, they've got depth there and they've got guys that you feel like can step in and make plays. And I just think at the end of the day, the Chiefs have so much depth and talent on defense that it can be the deciding factor in this Super Bowl.
Yeah, you make a good point about Omenihu. I didn't even mention him among the injuries that we were talking about before. I mean, it probably was going to be anyway, just because of the game. And even if he had been inactive going into it, but Sunday's the biggest day of Felix Anadike Uzomah's life. I mean, our understanding is that, you know, he's going to be the guy that receives the snaps, you know, because Omenihu is going to be out due to injury. And I think, like, behind the scenes, the Chiefs have been really satisfied with Felix. I know there's been some unrest and some fan disappointment and complaints on both, like, talk radio and in the comments, where's Felix? But you're right. The Chiefs' defensive line is very, very deep. And, you know, veteran players have been playing well. And so, you know, you can only play so many players at a certain time. But Felix is fresh. The Chiefs like what he's been able to do. And I think he's like a little bit of a wild card that could come out of nowhere and make a big play in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I actually talked to John about this earlier in the week. And, you know, for all the fans that are worried about Felix, like, I don't think that Felix is all of a sudden going to take as many snaps as Charles Omenihu was for this Chiefs defense,
right?
But
right.
They just need him to be a situational guy who, when he is on the field, has an opportunity to make plays. And early in the season, in a really limited role, we saw him win some pass rush reps and we saw him be effective in the run game. And then you mentioned Derek Nnadi earlier too. Like, you know, Derek Nnadi not being around is a big blow to the Chiefs defensive line. And we're talking about going up against Christian McCaffrey, where the one Achilles heel of this Chiefs defense all year has been against the rushing attack. And this is the best running back in the NFL. And it's not even particularly close this season. So, like, they've got some things that worry you a little bit, but I still feel like Chris Jones can take this thing to another level in a one game sample size. I feel like George Karlaftis can take this thing to another level in a one game sample size. And Mike Danna, who has been one of the most underrated players for the Chiefs defensive line all season long, can be an impactful player in Sunday's game. So yes, they're shorthanded there right now, and those injuries could wind up affecting their performance in the Super Bowl, but I expect the Chiefs playmakers to step up and have a huge impact in this game.
Mike Danna is a really good point and a good name to bring up because you think about what this game means. I mean, we get so caught up in, you know, what's going to happen with L'Jarius Sneed, what's going to happen with Chris Jones, key players in the Chiefs defense, just considering their contract is up. Mike Danna's contract is up. And so not that you need any more motivation to play in the Super Bowl, but he also could stand to make a lot of money on Sunday if he has a big game. And so that plays into it. You know, our late great friend, Therese Taylor, would always say it, the contract year is undefeated, and that certainly extends to the Super Bowl.
And we haven't talked about Willie Gay much because obviously he's been practicing. He's expected to be available after dealing with that neck injury throughout the postseason. But the Chiefs having their full rotation of linebackers in this game, I think, is going to have a huge impact on Sunday. Like, we talk about Nick Bolton, who I think after having the midseason injury and really kind of struggling upon his return, he's really found a groove and he's been playing really good football. Willie Gay is going to be back and hopefully healthy. And we've seen them miss his athleticism a little bit. And Drew Tranquil's been spectacular in the postseason. And then that's even before you get to a guy like Leo Chanel, who can come in and play in the run game and has made some really impactful plays for the Chiefs on defense here in the playoffs. Like, just the Chiefs' depth overall, and then that's before we even get to their tremendous secondary. Like, the depth on the defensive side of the ball, I think, is going to be one of the deciding factors in Sunday's Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's all about the roster build. I mean, Brett Beach did a really nice job on the defensive side, really, at all three levels, not only having starters that are ready to go, but, you know, football is a game where people get injured, and the depth is there. And, you know, kudos to him too on the offensive side. I know we criticize the offense all year long, but Rashee Rice is a player now who was a, you know, one for one ample replacement for Juju Smith-Schuster, and to do that in year one, very, very impressive. I think other than Puka, you know, you can make a case that Rashee Rice was the most important receiver pick in the NFL draft. And so even on that side, I feel like they've done a really nice job of, you know, losing certain players and then filling in those positions with players who could step in and make an impact.
And on the offensive side of the ball, obviously there's been a ton of Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan talk, and you mentioned right. Steve Spagnuolo and these coaching staffs, like two of the best coaching staffs in the NFL, and it's not particularly close. Like, we've seen the success that both these teams have had in recent years. And I just tend to wind up, I know a lot's being made of Brock Purdy against the blitz, all these weapons, and the Chiefs struggles on offense this year. But at the end of the day, it's, can Patrick Mahomes continue to be perfect like he has all throughout the postseason? And I think that we've seen him show up in these big stages before, and I don't know what to expect in Brock Purdy, despite the fact that Brock Purdy has let a couple of come from behind wins for the San Francisco 49ers. And at the end of the day, it then becomes Andy Reid versus Kyle Shanahan. And while Kyle Shanahan's one of the most important offensive coaches of this generation in the NFL, I still think that Andy Reid is the guy that you don't want to play when he's had 2 weeks to prepare for you.
I'm with you. And I think it's a very good point about Patrick Mahomes. It's fun to watch him because, without a doubt, through 6 years of a career, the best quarterback we've ever seen. And you see some of that stuff on a week by week basis, but there is like a tangible big game attitude, big game play that comes with him as well. And it, you know, when you're talking about the comparison between Mahomes and Purdy, I think it's lopsided enough. But then when you add in the fact that in these big games, Mahomes just really always shows out. I mean, the only outlier in that one, I think, that you think about is the Cincinnati game from a couple of years ago when they blew that big lead at Arrowhead Stadium and the Bengals ended up going to the Super Bowl. But, you know, other than that one game and maybe one half, you would say, I mean, he just always rises to the occasion, and that makes everyone better. And I think you nailed it. I think all year they were saying, to a point of nauseam, I think we would complain about it on the Arrowhead Pride Report, of just, mean, man, they keep saying clean up penalties, stop making mistakes. The offense will be good. And it was hard to believe them because, you know, they would lose a game after winning one and did that several times. But now they were right. Like, they made it back to the Super Bowl. They cleaned it up for the postseason. And they've been tough to beat, especially with the defense holding the opposing team to the point totals that they have.
He's Pete Sweeney. You can follow him on Twitter at PG Sweeney. I'm Steven Sir. It's where you can find me. As always, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review everything that we are doing right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Make sure you stay locked in to arrowheadpride.com. Again, next edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report will actually be coming out on Saturday, so be on the lookout for that. We'll have a fresh episode of Show MBK to get you ready for Sunday's game coming out tomorrow morning, so be on the lookout for that. And stay locked into arrowheadpride.com. We got absolutely everything you need to know ahead of the Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.